From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. This week, Dr. Alan Cairns has been preaching on the fellowship of the Spirit. In dealing with this subject, Dr. Cairns has defined the term fellowship by linking it to three English words, participation, partnership, and pleasure. As he has shown, believers in Jesus Christ participate in the benefits of the Spirit's work. Then there is the element of partnership, which refers to the believer's high privilege of working with God to accomplish His will upon the earth. Furthermore, we see that this fellowship is to be the up-to-date experience of God's people, and that it should be an ever-deepening and growing experience, which will find its ultimate fulfillment in heaven. In concluding the message, Dr. Cairns emphasizes that this fellowship of the Spirit motivates and enables the believer to live in spiritual holiness. First, Dr. Cairns takes time to answer the question, What is revival? The video version of this comment may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
What is revival? Well, now there's a question, because if ever a word has been misused, it's the word revival. When I came to America at first, I was aghast when I was driving along and I would see outside of a church, revival, Sunday to Wednesday. What on earth is this? And what they meant was they were having a series of specially prepared meetings, maybe of an evangelistic nature. I have no fault to find with people having special evangelistic drives. I'm all in favor of getting out the gospel, but that's not revival. What is revival? Real revival? Well, first of all, it's not anything that man can organize. One of the most iniquitous and insidious ideas that has ever been launched on evangelicalism and accepted by millions is the notion that was put out by Charles Finney that you could promote a revival. And he had this book, How to Promote a Revival. I remember as a young Christian reading this, and I wanted to see revival, so I was very interested in this. But this is nonsense. You cannot promote a revival. When the psalmist was praying about revival, he always prayed that it was God's work. He prayed, for example, the 85th Psalm, Wilt thou not revive us again? The word revive in English means to bring to life again, give fresh life to. That would let you see it's a work of God among His people. Revival is a sovereign work of God whereby He quickens His people. First, in their relationship with Him, and second, in their knowledge of the power of the risen Christ by the infilling of His Spirit. Revival always has the connotation then of that power overflowing to the outside world. Now, the fullness of the Spirit is a huge subject that I can't now get into. Every one of us should live under the full direction of the Holy Spirit. But it is in the sovereign decision of God as to when and how and to what extent He visits a church or a group of churches or an area with such a manifestation of His glory and a demonstration of His power as will humble first His people, bring them to pray, and then humble people all around, bringing them to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2009 is the 150th anniversary of the great revival that shook my homeland in Northern Ireland, the province of Ulster, in 1859. In one calendar year, about 100,000 people were saved. To this day, you can go to Ireland and you can see the churches still standing that were built to house the converts. Did anybody promote it? No. What happened was, a group of young men were burdened to see God work in the midst of the spiritual deadness and dearth that was abroad in the nation, and they started to pray. For a long time they prayed alone. They seemed to be getting nowhere. And then God gave an answer to prayer. One or two were saved. Some people more came to the prayer meeting. And then God moved in a marvelous way. In many ways, this was the spark of the fire of the revival in America in 1857, jumping across the Atlantic. And it landed in the county of Antrim in Northern Ireland and spread all over that little province. And there was a mighty moving of the Holy Spirit. That's what I mean by revival. I can't promote it, but I can pray for it. And God can send it. And if his people, which are called by his name, will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked way, he will hear from heaven. He will heal their land. And it's not talking about the political entity of the land. This is the land of the spiritual Israel, the Church of Christ. He'll move in that church, forgive their sins. He will do a great work. So that's the vision. I trust you'll get a desire to pray. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS audio magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Listen, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is meant to be ever present. It's meant that we should live in a current experience. Way back in the second of these studies, I pointed out a vital basic doctrine about the Holy Spirit, that He is always active. The Holy Spirit is always active. And I tell you, if He is not working in His people the experience of His purity and power, then He must be active to convict us and lead us to repentance and the renewal of the experience of His purity and power. We must have an up-to-date experience. And of course, this tells us also that we must have an ever-deepening and growing experience. The fellowship of the Spirit is never stagnant. This is not something that you just rest still in, at least in one sense. This is something that is ever-deepening and growing. The fullness of God is infinite. You can never have learned all you need to learn of the Lord. You can never know all you need to know of the Lord. You can never feel all you need to feel of the Lord. There's an infinity in our God. Therefore, we must ever be getting deeper and deeper into the knowledge of fellowship with Him. Think of the words of the old hymn, "There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with Thee." Heaven will be the fullness of our experience. But between here and heaven, there should be an ever-increasing depth to the knowledge and enjoyment that the believer has in Christ. 2 Peter 1 and 5, add to your faith virtue, and the whole list of things to be added. 2 Peter 3 and 18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is an ever-present experience. And then finally, this ever-present fellowship of the Spirit moves and enables the believer to live in spiritual holiness. That's why we read Philippians 2, verse 1. "If there be any fellowship of the Spirit, fulfill ye my joy and live in this particular way." In other words, our fellowship with the Spirit and His fellowship with us, our participation in His benefits, our partnership in His work and witness, our pleasure in His person and work as He leads us to Christ, this ever-present fellowship governs all our relations. It governs our relationship with God. The Holy Ghost always leads us to Christ. 1 John 1 and 3, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. If you're in fellowship with the Holy Ghost, you'll be led into fellowship, sweet fellowship with Christ. We were singing of it this morning. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. That's where the Holy Ghost leads you. The Holy Ghost always leads you to Christ. I want to tell you today, it is another spirit. I don't care how it comes, dressed up in religious garb, but it is another spirit if it leads you anywhere but to Christ. Then 1 John 1 and 7, if we walk in the light, what is walking in the light? It's going to be walking in the Spirit. If we walk in the light, it's going to be walking according to the Word. As He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So this fellowship of the Spirit governs our relationship with God. It governs our relationship with the world. If you're in fellowship with the Spirit, that's going to dictate how you live in this present evil world. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. What communion or what fellowship has light with darkness? Ephesians 5 and 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You see, if you're in fellowship with the Spirit, of God, then you're going to be out of fellowship with the world. You're going to be out of fellowship with the apostasy. As a church over the years, we have battled apostasy. In Northern Ireland, that was and continues to be one of our main functions, to expose and oppose the apostasy, the run to union with the Church of Rome, the absorption into the church of every form of liberal and rationalistic apostasy as well. Christians were asleep and unaware and uncaring about these things. The job of our church, as well as leading many people to Christ, was to awaken God's people and call them to separation. And we were forever being told about the good men who were still in apostasy. I remember talking to one of these so-called good men, minister. In fact, I think of two particular instances, two different ministers at this time. These are the evangelicals. Oh, these are the good men. And I said to each of them on different occasions, I said, how can you go? They were Presbyterian ministers. How can you go to a meeting of your presbytery and lay your hands to ordain to the Christian ministry and commit him to the care of a man, someone that you know to be unsaved, ungodly, unbelieving, and rejecting the very gospel that you say you believe? You tell me that's the action of a good man? I don't believe it. It's not the action of a good man. That's the action of a traitor. A betrayer of Jesus Christ. If you're in fellowship with the Spirit of God, you can't be in fellowship with the enemies of God. Did not James say, friendship with the world is enmity with God? This dictates our behavior in the world. It's not only religious separation we're talking about. There's an awful lot of people who are not in apostate churches. They're independent Baptists, and they're separated Presbyterians, and they're separated this, that, and the other thing, and they're up to their eyeballs in worldliness and sin. That's not separation. I tell you, my friend, if you're in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, that dictates your relationship with the world. And thank God it dictates your relationship with the brethren. This is the meaning of Philippians 2 and 1. If there's fellowship in the Spirit. Look, this is the simple logic. If you're in fellowship with the Spirit, and the one beside you is in fellowship with the Spirit, then does that not say how you ought to interact? Does that not say how you ought to live one toward another? If we're living in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you there'll be no church divisions. That's not to say we're all suddenly perfect. We're not. But I want to tell you, where you've got people living in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, you'll not have a church split. You'll not have Christians refusing to talk to each other. You'll not have Christians bickering and backbiting and stabbing in the back. You'll not get that where you have people who are living in the fellowship of the Spirit of God. If we're living in the fellowship of the Spirit, we'll be holy. Walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. That's fellowship with the Spirit. And you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It is God's will that we should dwell continually in this blessed communion with the Holy Ghost. I trust that He will indeed lead you and me into an ever-deepening experience of the Spirit's gracious operations, so that we may more and more mirror in this present evil world the qualities of our blessed God and Savior. And this is the true joy of the regenerate heart. Anything less is a burden of heart. Anything less is a frustration of soul that's hard to bear. Man or woman this morning, if you're a Christian, Let me invite you to cultivate the fellowship of the Spirit. Cultivate the fellowship of the Spirit, and thereby enjoy the spiritual vitality and victory which are our blood-bought right in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless His word to all our hearts for His name's sake.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.